Right, so the situation that we have in Northern Ireland this week is that there was an incident on the Ormore Road. Some people from some Orange men saying that the police were heavy-handed. They're concerned about the use of CS spray around an area where there were children. There are political representatives giving out statements. One DUP councillor on a Facebook post, which has since been removed, describing the police as boot boys. UKIP saying there's a two-tier system in Northern Ireland of policing. The DUP on this programme this morning refusing to rule out that there's a two-tier policing system in Northern Ireland. Alison Morris from the Irish News joining us now, the security correspondent. Morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
Alison, you will have covered many, many stories in, involving communities in Northern Ireland. Do you recognise this charge that there's a two-tier policing system in Northern Ireland?
Stephen, let's be clear. Historically, when the RUC was made up of, what, 90% Protestant Unionist, Loyalist, whatever you want to call it, that was a two-tiered police system. There has been an attempt to readdress that within the PSNI. And I think that what your show has shown today is not that there's a two-tier policing system, but that unionists are fighting each other for votes in South Belfast, because I don't think that we would have heard the language that has been used today. Was it on one side for votes coming up in the Assembly election in South Belfast? When you cover these rhetoric...
Well, the politicians would refute that, and you've heard, you know, Christopher Stalford this morning adamant that under no circumstances, he says he finds it offensive, even the suggestion of it.
It's totally irresponsible language. When I cover these, and I don't report in the office, I do go out and I do quote these incidents, and I have been at numerous rats. There's very rarely a build-up to them that allows you to know what's going to happen. They usually happen on the spur of the moment, and they're usually very spontaneous. And there have been times when there have been children caught up in it, and that can be very distressing. But every incident there in the Ormore Road, I only watched the video, like most of us, and from what I can see, the parade wasn't being policed, it was being escorted up the road. There was two officers on their own, and therefore you have to let the police ombudsman decide what the situation was that made those officers believe that they were under threat. And I think it's incredibly unfortunate the children were caught up in that, and I think it must have been terribly distressing for those children. But I also think it's very irresponsible for unionist politicians. And if you had looked at some of the Loyalist Facebook forums yesterday, the language and the threats being issued on them were quite distressing. A lot of it was incredibly sectarian towards police, assuming that if police Loyalist braids in a certain way, they must be Catholic officers. And that's the kind of language that was being used.
And yet there is, we have heard quite a few comments from some Loyalists, from some unionists this morning, asking, well, what are they expected to think when they watch a Republican parade with masked men walking past and the police doing nothing?
I think in those situations, it's understandable when people look at it from the outside. I would imagine that what the police say is that they will take videos from them, and people have been arrested and people have been convicted in the past using facial mapping techniques and things like that in regards to those parades. But also, for all of us journalists who covered the flag parade, the flag protest, the same could be said. On those occasions, you had 15 and 16-year-old girls and boys blocking in roads in the city centre. People were asking why they weren't being removed. They could have very easily been forced off the road by police. But a situation was taken, I think it's what they call worst-case scenario policing, where they decide to watch and observe in video and then go back and arrest the people at a later date.
Alison, thank you. Morning to you. Duncan Morrow. And then I'm going to take loads of your calls this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. Duncan Morrow.
You know, I think it's really grossly irresponsible for politicians to be making allegations and insinuations based on their own perceptions and on political capital rather than facts here. I mean, to be honest with you, if new policing means anything, it means sticking to the facts, not trading these kind of perceptions. And there's actually no evidence, as far as I can see, being brought forward of two-tier policing. That's just a slogan. And it's clear that the PSNI are not doing nothing about the parade and Lurgan. They will be doing things. It's about appropriate policing. So, in this case, on the Ormore Road...
It's going to be some identity parade, though. Do you recognise this masked man?
Well, it's going to be important that the police take those steps and they will be judged by their actions, as in this case. Because here there's two sets of allegations, as you said, heavy-handed policing. Although, I want to make very clear, as far as I know, there's no allegation of CS gas being used against children. And I need that clarified.
There's not.
As far as I know, there's no allegation of that. And that needs to be stopped being spread around. And then there's another side, which is that the police officer we know was attacked, or two police officers were attacked and intimidated. So we need to stop creating crisis before the facts are known. We need to get politicians to step back and stop this rush to judgment. And we absolutely have to stop this intimidation of individuals on social media.
Okay. Duncan Morrow, thank you. I'm going to leave loads of space for you now. 0330 80 55 55. Before I do so, the DUP have issued a further statement to the Nolan Show, in which they now tell us, we do not believe it's appropriate to describe police officers as boot boys. Well, my follow-up question to the DUP, has Councillor Carson withdrawn those remarks or just withdrawn his Facebook page? Does he believe that the police are boot boys? Will there be an apology from Councillor Carson? Nobody's sure. So do we have a DUP councillor basically thinking the police officers that risk their lives for this country are boot boys? You see, we don't know. And that's the issue. The DUP continue in their statement, where there are legitimate grievances, they should be dealt with through the normal complaints process of the Police Ombudsman's Office. The party asked Councillor Carson to remove this personal posting and he has readily done so. So it's his personal view. That's interesting. Is it still his personal view? Does he still think, does Councillor Carson still think that the police, who he described as boot boys, should go and see Gerry Adams and take shelter from Gerry Adams? This is a DUP councillor telling the police officers of this country to go and take shelter from Gerry Adams. Does Councillor Carson still think that? We don't know. Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter.
I'll let you give me a chance to explain him. I think politicians have a two-tier attitude to things as well. I would guarantee now, Claire Hannah, I'm surprised you haven't been on, but if I had been a policeman, the Newton Arch Road, Shankill Road, and he'd have put his foot on the ladder, she'd have been on the radio this morning.
Well, we haven't asked Claire to come on, so it's nothing to do with whether she's on or not. Don't draw any inference from her not being on.
It doesn't matter, Stephen, but that's what you get. And then you'll get an order, it happens to your side, and they'll be on kicking up. So the politicians... And then the point, most important thing is, what happens the next time a police come along, somebody's putting a flag up at the bottom of a lamppost, and the guy's standing behind the ladder? If the man says, right, I'm behind the ladder in case he falls off, how are they going to prosecute him? Because if it's good enough for the police man to stay for health and safety, surely it's good enough for the guy putting the flag up.
So what are you saying to me?
What I'm saying is, they'll probably come along. You can't. What I'm saying is, there's still all these different attitudes. What I'm saying is, one same time it's the Protestants doing up the flag, and the next one's the Catholics, and one, the Protestants ones will come on, the politicians complain about the Catholics, and the sack same. But there's been nobody on about the policeman down the bottom of the ladder on the falls road. And I have to be honest, if the man was going to fall off, thank God he was down the ladder. But what I'm saying, that's the way it is. If it had been our way, you'd have had the Republicans on and complaining about the policeman doing that. And you know that as well as you're sitting there. And see, for boot boys, Stephen, I've heard them being called worse than boot boys by Sinn Féin down the years. You know, so... there's not too many rescind over that hour, is there?
It's about how political representatives react, Peter, when there's a situation which could escalate.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at as a programme this morning. We're looking at, okay, there's a situation on the Armour Road, there's an investigation, so how are the leaders of this country, how are the political representatives reacting? Well, UKIP are straight out saying there's a two-tier system. Ruth Patterson is straight out, despite the fact that she wasn't there, saying describing it as a shocking state of affairs. The DUP, well, they refuse to rule out the possibility that there's two-tier policing now in Northern Ireland. That's the response after that one incident yesterday.
There is a difference in areas. They have to be different because obviously the ones in the Loyalist side, and not being funny, and most Republicans wouldn't bar hour, but the chances of maybe somebody sneaking out of coming out of a side street and firing a rifle at you if you're one of the Republican are the dissidence periods. You know, that's a difference. So there's a different circumstances, sir, so they have to treat it differently. You know what I mean? They know there's chances of somebody in the Loyalist side coming out and firing a shot at them very, very remote. So you understand there's different attitudes to different periods.
Valerie, morning, Valerie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I'm very concerned that we're losing the whole focus of this discussion and it's now become into a whole, you know, is a politician right to speak out about this? My main concern is the effect that this has on the band communities for the many thousands of parades that are going to happen for the rest of this year. The confidence in the ban community on the police is at an all-time low. I mean, I'm not a politician. I have no reason to be calling for any actions from the police or from the police or to the police.
Why is confidence in the police at an all-time low in the ban community?
Well, I mean, I think you've said it yourself, Stephen. The approach towards the PSNI over the past weekend has been very obvious in the different approaches.
That's one incident, Valerie.
This weekend, Stephen, there's been multiple occurrences.
So you're the chairperson of the Confederation of Ulster Bands, okay?
Yes.
There is a possibility, and I don't know, and to be frank with it, nobody knows. There's a possibility that a police officer made an error of judgment. Why is that a possibility? Because he's a human being. There's a possibility that police officer acted properly and rightly as well. There are many possibilities around that one incident at the weekend. And yet you representing bands in Northern Ireland now say policing is at an all, confidence in policing at an all-time low.
The confidence in police, Stephen, hasn't been caused by one incident. This is multiple years of incidents similar to this. I mean, bands people are involved very heavily in the community, and it's a very close-knit community. And we all within the band community know people involved in South Belfast Young Conquerors. And children are very heavily involved in that band. You can see from the video itself that when the policeman is actually walking towards the policeman of the motorcycle cop, he's actually walking past young children. So to claim that they didn't know there were children in the area, it's irresponsible.
I haven't heard the police at any stage claim they didn't know there were children in the area.
It's the inference, Stephen. You know that as well as I do.
Well, so they didn't claim it, Valerie.
I think
so,
what we
no,
need to
just stop. Just stop. No, let's just stop.
Yes.
Let's stop, Valerie.
What you've just said is wrong.
They didn't claim that they couldn't see children, did they, Valerie? What you've just said is misleading.
What I think we have to do is look at the actions of the person policing. The band were on parade. The band were walking past parked cars. Is this a new policy of the police that bands aren't allowed to walk past parked cars?
Let me just clarify with you. Were you there?
No, like anyone else in your programme, Stephen, no, I wasn't there.
Ah, but you know exactly what happened.
Well, I think we all saw the video, Stephen.
All right, an edited video.
A partial.
When I say edited, by the way, what I mean that it's a partial video. You know, you don't have all
Absolutely.
The angles, you don't
Absolutely.
Have the whole run-up to it, so you've got a
Absolutely.
Snapshot in time. You don't even see what happened to the parked cars, do you?
But I have spoken to people who were in the band on the day, Steve.
Hearsay evidence now, Valerie.
Probably unlikely that any of your other contributors have done so.
Have you spoken to police officers?
No, but as a Confederation of Ulster Bands, we are asking for a meeting with
all right,
the police.
So you've spoken to one side of the debate and you've drawn a conclusion.
Well, to be honest,
that's an intelligent thing to do.
Our core focus is the marching bands.
Right. Tell me this.
Where would we naturally go to?
Is this a fair question?
You're avoiding the question, Stephen. Well, the thing is, what we have to look at is the actions of the first policeman. Everyone is focused on the second policeman because he is the most obvious in that video. We're not looking at the actions of that first policeman. What caused the disturbance?
Well, those are
everyone can be seen running across the road too.
Well, those are
questions have to be asked.
Well, those are good questions, Valerie. But the answer to that is we don't know.
Yes, and that is.
But you're drawing conclusions.
What is going to happen now is this is going to be investigated by the police ombudsman.
Yes.
And the difficulty with that is that takes time. So what happens to the loyalist community and the band community now when they are out in parades for the next several months until the decision is made on the actions of that policeman?
Well, I'll tell you.
There's now a new policy by the PSNI that bands aren't allowed to march past.
Well, I'll tell you what happens. I'll tell you what happens. You've got DUP councillors calling the police boot boys. You've got the DUP as a political party through Christopher Stalford this morning refusing to rule out whether they think the police is implementing a two-tier system in Northern Ireland. What a huge, huge statement
that
would be.
Those are politicians, Stephen. Those are politicians.
Yes, they are.
They are speaking on behalf of their electorate.
Do you think it's fair for me to ask Valerie this question? Because you weren't there and I wasn't there. And this question hasn't been asked on air. And I know I'm not making myself popular within the loyalist community this morning. It's not my job to be popular with anybody.
Any less popular, Stephen? I don't know that it's possible.
Oh, there you go. I don't know what way you want me to react to that. I try to do a job. That's it. Let's move on. Here's a question from me. You see the way people are asking about the behaviour of the police officer who used CS spray on the Armour Road and whether that was appropriate? Well, because he knew children were around? Was it appropriate for anybody within that band to attack a police officer if they knew children were around?
Stephen, I have taken that video and I have slowed it down into extreme slow motion. And when you actually look at that video, the disturbance happens at the left-hand side of the band. And you can actually
see... You can't see the disturbance. I've seen the video.
You can, Stephen. When you can see the band members running from the right-hand side of the band as you're looking at it.
That's correct. But you don't see the disturbance. The whole point is you don't see what they're running from.
You're aware what they're running to, Stephen. And bands do not break the ranks unless something has happened to the ranks of the band.
All right, but what has happened,
we
don't know.
You can't see the band, we don't know. And that's the problem. Hmm. Now, bands are on parade. They're interested about what they're playing, they're interested about where they're going, and they're interested about maintaining their ranks in the band. They do not break those ranks for any reason.
I wonder how a police officer got assaulted.
Well, it's
allegedly
extremely interesting.
I wonder how a police officer got injured when there were children around. I wonder what type of...
You don't see any of that in the video. You don't see the motorbike being damaged on the video.
I wonder what type of orange man... I wonder what type of orange man, bands man, call what you will, reacts to the police in any way when there are children around.
I'm sorry, but if my child is beside me in a band and I see a policeman acting aggressively, I will go to them, my child. Any human will, Stephen. Basic human nature.
You'll go to your child, won't you? You won't approach a police officer. You'll go to your child, won't you?
When you look at that video, Stephen, it is very obvious that there is something happening on the left-hand side of the band.
But we don't know what. It's so obvious, none of us know.
It's a problem, Stephen. That is the problem.
Alexander next. No. Morning, Alexander.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, as a member of the Loyal Orders and one who's often engaged in organising parades, it's common policy that an 11-1 form has to go into the police if you're the organiser of a parade. I would like you, as you claim to be the biggest show in the country, to ask the police service of Northern Ireland, the parades that we saw over the weekend when there were masked men on the streets, parading on the streets, were there 11-1 forms put in by organisers of those parades?
I'm pretty certain the police have said, now this is, I'm not certain, I'm nearly certain, right, that the police have said that there were unnotified parades over the weekend.
Oh, there were unnotified parades. So a notified parade on the Armour Road, provoked policemen to attack a band.
Alexander, no, you need to stop. I won't take you off air, but just stop one second. We need to be careful what we are saying.
Okay.
So the police...
A legally organised parade prompted police officers to take action, which a lot of members of the community would see as offensive to that community because of the aggressive way they acted towards the band.
And you heard the police this morning say that officer felt fearful for his safety.
So my next question is, where were our so-called PSNI, who police the whole of the community, where were they whenever these illegal parades were taking place over the weekend? Where were they? Are the police? Is there not always a police presence in most towns and villages in Northern Ireland?
Did you not hear Chief Superintendent Noble this morning say that there are investigations now into those incidents?
Can you not understand why the Protestant, Unionist, Loyalist community would be reacting as they are at the minute after what happened on the Armour Road, which is in vast contrast to what happened in Republican towns and villages?
So let's talk this through.
Hold on.
Okay.
Masked people who were breaking the law were allowed to do that without any intervention. Did you see any intervention in any of those parades by police officers anywhere? Do you not think that it's a little bit strange that of all the parades that went on over the weekend, And of all the laws that were broken by all the masked men, there were no policemen anywhere, anywhere in any of those towns or villages whenever those parades happened.
Well, how do you know there weren't?
Well, then, if there were, why did they not do anything about it?
Right, so let's talk.
Did you see any parades stopped?
Right, so let's talk about this.
Did you see any police officers run into the middle of that parade to stop it?
Right, so
they run into the middle of the parade on normal roads.
Listen, can we have a conversation? So
I'm putting my point. Go on ahead. We can have a conversation.
Okay, and you're very welcome to put your point. And you know, thank you for doing so.
No problem.
It is possible. And look, Alexander, I'm not here to bat for the police, right? I'm trying to put all the different points of view. It's possible that you're comparing apples with oranges here, right? That you're comparing two very different types of incident. So is it not possible, Alexander, that with that Republican parade where there are masked men, is it not possible at least that the police could take an operational decision? Well, look, they may be breaking the law, but there is no individual being no individual safety being threatened at this moment. So therefore, operationally, we will take footage of it and we will investigate it later rather than going in with any type of what would be perceived to be an escalating response from the police. Is it not possible that that's a different incident when nobody's individual safety is being threatened with those masked men, be it that they're breaking the law, some people would allege, against the situation on the Ormo Road where the police are telling us that an officer at that moment in time felt that his physical safety was in danger? Those are two very different scenarios, Alexander, that might expect a different policing response rather than senior politicians in this country suggesting there's two-tier policing. Well, is that not possible?
That was my next comment. Would that not suggest, it would suggest to me that there is a two-tier policing system in Northern Ireland? At the end of the day, a lot of commentators, even the person you had on this morning talking, who was an ex-member of the RUC or PSNI, said that he felt, I think his words were that he felt that the officer had went in very quickly or he was more or less on his own whenever he went in. Would that officer not have been better summing up the situation, speaking to Noel Liggett, speaking to whoever organised the parade, whenever it was only a short distance from the hall?
Maybe.
And then at that time...
Maybe. Maybe. But we don't know what that officer's thinking now. My point is this.
Very quick to charge in, Stephen.
But my point is this, Alexander. Well, first of all, you weren't there, so you don't know, Hartquick.
Second,
no. So therefore, I wouldn't say whether he was quick to charge in or not.
You're saying that I'm saying that he was quick to charge in, and you're saying that he wasn't.
No, so, I'm saying you don't know.
Nor do you.
We also don't know whether that officer regrets what he did. We don't know whether that officer, with the benefit of hindsight, which is a great thing, thinks he could have handled it better. But I'll tell you what we do know. We do know that the biggest political party in Northern Ireland, the DUP, is not distancing itself from comments that there's two-tier policing in Northern Ireland. Now, I'll tell you what that needs. That needs someone like me to ask the very top leadership of the Democratic Unionist Party this morning. Arlene Foster, the new leader of the DUP, do you, First Minister, think there's two-tier policing in Northern Ireland? Now, there's a direct, straight question to our First Minister in Northern Ireland. Is there two-tier policing in Northern Ireland? Because I'll tell you who hasn't given a yes or no answer to that. The DUP on this programme this morning. Let's see if the First Minister can. Sean, next. Morning, Sean. Morning, Sean. Thank you, Alexander. We have a minute and a half left. Want to take two or three calls. Go on, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen. I think Stormont, when they reassemble, are missing out on a big opportunity if they don't enter the taxation of words here. The word perception has been used ad nauseum this morning.
Okay, I get it, Sean, and that's the point. Paul, morning, Paul, very quickly.
Good morning, Stephen. How
15 seconds. Give us your point.
Stephen, just a quick one. I was listening to the police officer this morning saying they're all human, they don't get it right, which is fair, they don't. But they don't help themselves when they are seen taking pictures, holding ladders, erecting tricolours up, which they said was for safety, and they have to make that call. However, where was the safety call on Tuesday when they were spraying CS gas when there was children in the vicinity?
And that's what the Ombudsman will be investigating. We're going to continue to ask the DUP for clarity this morning about this two-tier policing, because it's a massive, massive issue in Northern Ireland if major senior politicians think that there is. That needs clarified.